Guys, welcome to episode 17 of the 51-yard line. We're taping this on Wednesday, April 22nd. April 22nd, that is the date today. I don't know. We got a lot to talk about. I feel like crap. I'm already off my game, but we're going to get through this. It's going to be fine. Woo. So as always, I'm one of your hosts.
Good start, man. Jeez Louise. Enthusiasm.
Hey, man. You found the positivity.
So as always, I'm one of your three hosts, Tyler Berry.
Mary and Berry.
Bummer, to my left, as always, Drew Willers.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys.
To my other left, Steve Cravens.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
And for the first official time as our new fourth permanent co-host, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Christian Schneider. What's up, bud?
Oh, it's all I ever wanted.
I'm really excited, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, we're excited to have you, dude. Sweet.
It's been a while, but I'm grateful.
I guess we decided this was going to happen like almost 3 weeks ago, and then like you didn't record an episode for like 3 weeks.
I was literally given the good news. I was so excited to film, tape, excuse me. None of this is visual.
No, we're filming.
But we're filming, you know, all that good stuff. And I was ready to do another episode, and my car battery promptly died on me.
That's right.
It was like the biggest letdown of, you know, some time for me. I was kind of like all jacked up, ready to talk all that stuff, and then
we kind of talked about replacing you after that because we realized how unreliable you were.
It was kind of like draft busting right away. It's kind of like in the first week of the season, you're like, oh god, he hasn't lived up to his hype at all.
You had to go to a 2 week stint in rehab, in car battery rehab.
Right. I mean,
somewhere in Pennsylvania, where the fuck Johnny Manziel was. I don't know.
Had to have a really good D-League stint for a couple weeks before I could get bumped back up.
And then we called you back up. Now you're good to go.
We're good.
And you're batting 1,000 so far. So that was like two different analogies. Never mind. Whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what we're talking about today. So why didn't someone just say something and then let's go?
Scott Brooks getting fired.
Pour it out. Oh my God. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't have been coming.
No.
Yeah, that seemed a little bit unjustified to me, considering how competitive he was able to keep the team despite not having its best player.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's
at
now,
times it's that, two best.
I was
going to
say that's now a debatable point. I would say a lot
of
people would probably say Russ Westbrook is on the more Batman side of the spectrum than he is Robin. Nonetheless, I don't. The bottom line is the only reason why the Thunder didn't really take a step forward this last year, correct me if I'm wrong, is because of the injuries. I mean,
it's not a
fair assessment at all of how the team was able to improve, because you can't improve if you don't have the one. Like, I don't mean to cross my sports here, but it was going to be difficult to rate on how well the Minnesota Vikings were going to be able to play once they knew they were not going to have Adrian Peterson. It's a somewhat similar situation in the Thunder having to deal with the loss of, you know, at one point Westbrook and Kevin Durant, but for the entire season Kevin Durant was pretty much a non-factor.
And heck, Ibaka was hurt a lot of the season too.
That is true as well. So I guess that's where I stand. You guys all watch more NBA than I do. I felt like that was truly, truly unjustified.
It was. You're right.
I think for this year, it's really unfair. Like, I mean, you can't put any of what happened this year on Scott Brooks. Though what I will say is, I mean, in the previous years, I felt like I've been on record, not on this show, but saying Scott Brooks is not that great of a coach, because the Thunder in a lot of key games would tend to stagnate offensively. Their offense is not very good. They got two of the most ridiculous weapons offensively in basketball, in Westbrook and Durant. And Serge Ibaka is not too bad himself. And the problem is they would just revert to hero ball. There's no offensive system for the Thunder at all. And when you look at teams like the Spurs and the Hawks with Popovich and Budenholzer given a really, really good system where they don't have nearly the weapons that the Thunder do, and just keeping the offense going at all times, you got to question, you know, how much of this is just like Scott Brooks managing, you know, a bunch of stars versus how much is he actually giving them. And I think that Scott Brooks did not make the Thunder better.
My only counter argument to that is, would you be singing the same tune about Pop if you didn't have Duncan and Parker for three-fourths of the year?
That's definitely a good question.
That's my only counter argument to that.
No, because Pop has proven time in and time out through injury and not, and before even Tim Duncan was on the team, that he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But he didn't win his first title until Duncan arrived.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah, but Scott Brooks hasn't won any title.
I'm just saying, my argument is that the Thunder didn't have hardly any star power. At one point, they had no star power. And then, obviously, Russell Westbrook had an MVP-type season. Excellent, excellent numbers. But like you said, Ibaka hurt for most of the season.
Yep.
And Durant hurt most of the season.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of a year where Pop had to... And Pop's... He's the GOAT. Like, I'm not trying to belittle Pop. But I just don't see the Spurs being able to survive in the West, you know, much in the way the Thunder struggled. I don't see them... If they lose Duncan for an entire season, or like Duncan and Kawhi, or for the same amount of time that you lost, like, the Thunder lost Russ and Durant? I don't know, man.
I gotta say, I mean, I see the point you're making, but I might be going on a limb to say this, but take any two players on the Spurs and take them out for the amount of time that Durant and Westbrook were out this year, I think the Spurs still make the playoffs. I really do.
I think the Spurs, with their system and
their depth, still make the playoffs, and that's all Pop.
Because there's one thing that the Spurs don't do on a regular basis, which is what you just said. What the Thunder do, they stagnate offensively late in games. If they're down, they play hero ball, and that's all that they can do. Pop is not about that. Is about generating offense through whoever he can generate offense through. Yep. Whether it's Danny Green, whether it's Tiago Splitter, well, not much lately, but because he's been really banged up. But he's never been the type to only put it on one guy's shoulders, because he doesn't like to play that way.
Right. Good point. Fair point.
Well, he doesn't need to either.
Exactly. Well, that's my point.
Not with the army at his disposal. It's just so unfair.
I agree. It definitely is unfair.
Yeah,
this year.
Yeah, and that's the main point. It's not fair.
Scott Brooks.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it is. I mean, look at the division they play in. The Durant news came out before the season even started. Then Westbrook gets out, and it's incredible, man. It's incredible. Like, I mean, the guy tries to rally the troops, what troops he has that aren't banged up. He's trying to get the most out of them. Whether he got the most out of them, I don't know. And then, you know, to have the media constantly question him and this, that, and the other. I mean, it's got to be rough, man. I mean, look at his win, the games he's won versus the games he's lost. He's won a hell of a lot more games than he's lost. He took a team to the finals. It was a bad NBA finals because you're going up against a team that is stacked and is hungry for revenge and to prove that they're worthy. I mean, in order to get to the finals, look at all the teams the Thunder had to beat in order to get there in the first place. So, I think Scott Brooks, I mean, and here's another thing I just wanted to say real quickly now that we're on this subject. Last year, Tyler and I liked to talk a lot about the OKC, the Thunder fans. And we were talking about how they're good fans, you know, loyal to their team. Obviously, that's all they've got. Let's see how loyal these fans are. And how great these fans are. Now that Brooks is out, who knows who's going to come in? And when Durant and Westbrook are no longer there.
I think, honestly, just like looking at them, I mean, I think the Thunder fans are a lot like the Sacramento Kings fans. It's the only team that they got. And the Kings fans, they love their team no matter who's on it. Whether they're 62-20 or they're 20-62, the Sacramento Kings fans always turn out. I think the Thunder are going to be like that. They're not going to enjoy it quite as much because obviously they're used to having two of the five best players in the NBA. But I don't think the Thunder are all going to jump off the bandwagon. I don't see the.
I didn't say they're going to jump off the bandwagon, but like, let's just see how passionate they are, how enthusiastic they are.
You mentioned you said something that I kind of want to hit on, and I think it's kind of why Scott Brooks got canned. I think the writing's on the wall that Kevin Durant is playing one more year in OKC and going to DC. Yes. And I think Durant was Scott Brooks' boy, man. Like, they've been together since the beginning. Like, they've formed this duo somewhat like akin to a Pop and a Tim Duncan. Like, they were there for each other. But it's like, you see how
they've been together since Seattle.
Exactly. Yeah. But you see how Scott Brooks coached without Durant on the floor for the majority of the season. And granted, he didn't coach that well. And he couldn't control Westbrook. in situations, especially earlier on in the season, where he needed to control Westbrook. The run at the end, that's historic. Like you can't knock that, but you also cannot rely on that for 82 game seasons year in and year out. I think OKC saw the writing on the wall and they were like, look, this isn't going to be the guy once Kevin Durant leaves.
Just wanted to bring up, Steve, you said how loyal are the fans going to be once they know they don't have Coach Brooks? Is that
the question? Once they don't have Coach Brooks, once Durant's gone, once Westbrook's gone.
Well, I will say this. An early candidate that has come up has been Billy Donovan. And that's the kind of name that I think that'll create buzz. That will definitely create buzz. It'll create fan speculation. I think that Billy Donovan is the type of name that makes Durant, as appealing as DC is going to look and as hard as it's going to be for OKC to convince him to stay, I think Billy Donovan is a good step in that direction. Obviously, it's just an early report. It could be a rumor. We don't know. But I think that could definitely, as a fan, it would definitely pique my interest.
I mean, that's interesting. But I mean, college coaches making the jump to the pros is a total wild card. And Billy Donovan, listen, no disrespect to the job he's done at Florida, but I mean, you got to remember Calipari and Pitino were both leaders of great teams. Horrendous.
Absolutely awful.
I mean, even take it to football. Nick Saban, best college coach in the last 20 years. Horrendous in the pros. You know, not everybody's system
translates.
This
is true.
The other early name.
I mean, at the same time, he may be awesome. I mean, Brad Stevens doing a great job right now. Billy Donovan could totally be up there.
You guys, big time college basketball watchers. Yep. Do you see him having any kind of success? At least he at the very least will get the chance to have Durant. Hypothetically speaking, super hypothetical at this point. Let's say he gets Westbrook and Durant completely healthy for the entirety of a season. Do you think that he can make a run to the Western Conference Finals?
Absolutely. Listen, I think anybody can make a run to the Conference Finals with them.
If you've got them both back at completely 100% to where they were playing a year ago, it doesn't matter. Like, the other name linked to the OKC job is Kevin Ollie right now, guy who's never coached in the NBA before. Right. Very good coach at UConn.
Great coach.
But if you've got both those guys healthy and you're still going to let them play the type of ball that they've been playing, throw anyone in there. Throw the assistant coach. I forget his name. Throw the assistant coach from the Spurs. One of the winningest coaches in European basketball history. Throw him in there. It doesn't matter. You've got those two guys. That's all you need.
And I just like to be specific to Donovan. He really is a good coach. And here's the thing. What he wants it. He definitely won't screw it up. So absolutely. I mean,
that's a good point.
With that talent, he's going to do. Like, I mean, we're talking
make
about,
it any worse.
I mean, we're talking shit about Calipari and Pitino. They did have pretty bad teams.
They did.
They didn't have a lot of talent. I mean, I don't see Donovan taking two studs and wrecking them.
Because I guess I don't really know the story with Pitino, but what I had heard is Calipari was just like, the hell with this. I'm just going to go back to college. From what I had read, Calipari, after realizing essentially how hard it is to herd cats that are getting upwards of $15 million, it becomes a lot more difficult. So
they went to herd wildcats.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that was bridging the gap. That's why we brought you on board, Schneider.
Thank you. That's why
we brought you on board, for that reason alone.
Boom.
To get you to bring those kinds of things together. But yeah. So,
fun fact, now that Scott Brooks is gone, there's only three coaches in the NBA who have been with the same team for 7 or more years. Pop, Carlisle, and Spo. And each of those guys has won a title in the last 4 years.
Has Carlisle been with the Mavericks 7 years? Wow.
Really?
That's a wild, man. That crept up on me.
That came up on SportsCenter. Or no, excuse me, Bleacher Report. Came up on Bleacher Report.
Oh, boy. I love Bleacher Report.
It just feels so recently that he was still coaching the Pacers, but I guess it has been a while.
Boy, Carlisle, too. He's been in the news lately, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well,
let's segue into that. Who's quickly become my least favorite player in the NBA. Let's talk a little Rajon Rondo.
I've never liked that dude.
Hey, man, I got some thoughts on him, but you go first.
I like his last name.
So if you didn't see the game on what would be Tuesday night, this past Tuesday, which was the 21st, Rondo looked like he would have rather been like laying brick in a landscaping job than playing in an NBA game.
I am telling you personally, I come from a family of bricklayers, and I can tell you that bricklayers have more fun doing what they do than Rondo had on that floor.
He got an 8 second, but he got an 8 second violation because he walked the ball up the court.
Ridiculous.
With no pressure from the Rockets, just walked the ball up the court. 8 second violation. Just played absolutely no defense. Which, granted, he hasn't played defense in 3 years. Didn't look like he wanted to be on the court at all, and ended up only playing 34 seconds in the second half because Rick Carlisle was like, "All right, we're done.
Done
like,
with this. It.
Like, I'm done. We're done with you. We're done."
It was like watching like the OJ Simpson Bronco chase. Like how fast that everybody was done with the guy in that stretch of time. It was ridiculous.
It was disrespectful. It was
unbelievable.
What it was.
He just didn't give a crap.
Did you see the one play? The one play. The Mavs are inbounding the ball. It's literally the play after the 8 second violation, and he's trying to like clap and fire up his team or something, or be like, I don't know what he's doing, but he has his back turned. And Jason Terry, his guy, just posts up in the wing, one of the greatest three-point shooters ever. Rondo's got his back completely turned to him, and Terry's like, are you serious right now? And he just pulls up, and that's when...
He's
in
garbage.
Terry's his old teammate.
Oh, it's just
Rondo
ridiculous.
Is garbage.
And then he gave Harden that little, like, forearm, like, shiv or whatever.
Also a bitch.
The thing that did me in with Rondo was when he threw Kirk Heinrich into the scorer's table.
Yep.
Like, that was when I was like, you're dirty. You're a dirty player. I don't have respect for you.
Here's my thing, man. Okay, so coming out of New England, like, I watched Rondo from, you know, the early stages, watched him through his highest highs. I mean... That game where he put 29, 18, and 13 on LeBron and the Cavs, I'll never forget that. But having watched his whole thing, I can say from the bottom of my heart, with no sense of uncertainty, fuck Rajon Rondo. That guy literally is a bad person. He chased Ray Allen out of Boston. He was a complete cancer in the locker room. And let's just take this at face value. You got a problem with Ray Allen? You got a problem. Like, the guy has never had an incident with anybody, but Rondo was just like a nightmare for the guy.
And how about as soon as the Celtics get rid of him, they go 24-12 to finish the season.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh
that
yeah.
That says it all right there. That says it all right there.
Oh yeah.
If you can win more with Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart,
Isaiah Thomas,
Tyler Zeller, Jonas Jerebko. If you can win more with them, and no disrespect to those guys, but they're not exactly superstars.
Oh, no, they're atrocious.
Like, if you can win with those guys more than you can win with someone like Rondo.
An all-star,
a veteran, someone who's got a ring with the team. That just says it all right there. Rondo, what Rondo has just done is solidify that he's not getting another huge contract for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah. He's a no-fly zone at this point, man, and rightly so, because
he's going to go to the team that desperately needs someone, and they're going to pay him as little as they possibly can.
Oh, yeah, and you think about it, too. He's having this drama with the Mavericks, the Rick Carlisle Mavericks. That team has no drama. There's no ego there. Everybody plays their role. They do their jobs. They're just not – they're not complaining. There's no contract infighting. There's no locker room tension. This guy comes in there and he sticks out like a sore thumb from the beginning. And it's just like what – it's all him. It's all on him. And, I mean, whoever takes him, whether it's – I know the Lakers are looking at him, whoever it is. Just good luck with that, people, because that guy is a problem.
Why even bother?
Talented out of his mind, but he's a problem.
I'll bet outspoken Mark Cuban down the road is going to voice his regret. I bet he will. I bet he will.
If Rick Carlisle is, then Mark Cuban definitely will.
Because I think in you brought up Carlisle. I think Cuban and Carlisle have a really good owner-coach relationship.
Great relationship.
I think during the Mavs, during the Mavs title run, you remember Cuban was pretty much silent throughout At the very least, he was silent throughout the finals.
Oh, yeah, the great game by Carlisle. Oh, yeah.
He talked a lot at the end of it.
Well, then, you know, Carlisle was like, you know, yeah, you can talk to my owner now or something like that. Yeah. I think that speaks a lot. Like, the fact that a coach can even say that on the biggest stage about his owner, the guy who's cutting the paycheck, that's a good relationship. And so I think if Carlisle's had it, Cuban will have it.
Yep.
And he'll have had enough with it. And I think Cuban is... He's outspoken, and I think he'll let you know that he's, he's not happy.
Well, I mean, remember when he first got traded to the Mavs? Remember the noise you would hear, like, oh my god, you know, oh my god, the Mavs have Rondo now. Then Studmeier goes over there, and he's like, oh my god,
I thought they were gonna be
here.
Going,
we go, this is it. Run. They're going again, and now look at all the problems.
A mess.
I mean, it's like one of my favorite phrases ever is locker room cancer, because like when you say it, like some players is like
Randy,
you
know, Moss,
tumors in the towels, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you say it about someone, it's like, yeah, you know, maybe that's debatable, hey, whatever. But then there's like, there are the guys or the players, no matter what sport it is, where it's like, dude, that guy is just, he is a cancer.
Yeah,
Rondo is you're dead. You're not like, hey, we're going to give you 2 months to live. Like, Rondo's on your team, you're dead.
Terminal cancer.
You're out of it. Forget it. No, don't worry about chemo. You're done. Like, and enjoy the last 2 hours left you have. Like, that's the type of cancer Rondo has proven himself to be. It's unreal, man.
How many minutes do you think he gets in the next game?
None.
Carlos
said he's played.
He's played his last game in the Mavs.
Okay. I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see.
Agreed. But
he's fucking fine. There's just no reason to play him.
Yeah.
There's no reason to
play him. Carlisle said that this is his last game in a Mavs jersey.
Sitting on the injured reserve.
No, seriously, I'd love to see what they say on their roster like card. It's like, did not play. Abomination.
Did not play. It's just, fucking douchebag.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, screw him. But I mean, I feel bad for the Mavericks because
I do too.
I mean, that I was really hoping this series with Houston would be a dogfight, but Houston,
of course,
Houston's got their hands around their throat now.
Yo, weenie.
Houston does have their hands around their throat. It's pretty awesome to watch. I mean,
Josh Smith put him there. Damn, he played a great game too. But yeah, it's big time.
Well,
right now,
we have other topics that we wanted to talk about, but
yeah.
Talking.
Gosh, I don't know.
Playoffs, maybe? These series, how they're playing out?
Well, that,
yeah, actually, I, before we do that, there was something that we forgot to mention in our pre-show talk, which was Coach Budenholzer
of the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, given Coach of the Year.
Well,
we haven't
deserved.
Gotten to talk about this together yet, so let's spend a few minutes on that.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. 100% honest. I don't know. Other than the Hawks are good, and Budenholzer he's a disciple of Pop. I don't know really anything about the Hawks. I know Jeff Teague.
Yep.
Is a great point guard.
Every time I hear his name, I laugh.
I'm not even gonna pretend. I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought it was Kerr, but Kerr was the biggest name that I knew, and the Warriors were the biggest team that I knew. So I really want you guys to tell me why. Well, I know you don't think he should have won. If there's anybody here that feels like he should have won, tell me why.
Do you agree he should have won?
I do, actually.
Go ahead. No, I agree. Yeah, go ahead. Talk first.
I mean, I think earlier I was making the point about how I thought Kerr was probably going to be the winner just because the Warriors right now, as far as the way they played throughout the season, have been head and shoulders above everybody else. But the bottom line is, if you look at the Hawk roster, I mean, you're right. Jeff Teague's a very good point guard. You know, they've got Horford. They got Korver.
Paul Millsap.
Those are good players. They don't have any great players. And even Jeff Teague, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, for years and years was just a middle of the road point guard in the NBA. Never bad, never a problem, just a solid starting point guard. But I mean, he's playing great. I mean, they had 4 All-Stars this year, and those guys were not sniffing the All-Star game before this. The
Millsap was probably the closest.
You know, I think Millsap
might have. Did he make it on the Jazz?
You know, I think Millsap did make it on the Jazz.
He made it with the Jazz.
Thank you. I think you're right about that. But the other 3, definitely not. I think that the Hawks just. Budenholzer clearly made them a lot better. They are a championship contender. I mean, what did they win? 60 games this year?
I think that's right.
I mean, it's really impressive when you look at that roster. I know they're in a softer Eastern Conference, but the bottom line is Budenholzer did the most with the least. And, you know, Kerr really does have some really good players on his team. I think it's a total close match, but just because of the disparity in talent, Budenholzer is a worthy winner. I was happy to see that. Now I need the Hawks to, you know, play out for him, but I think he deserved it.
And to me, the only reason I disagree is literally the point you just made. Weaker conference.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Kerr never coached in the NBA before.
Yeah,
first year coach coming in. I don't care, I don't care what talent he has on that team. He had to win them over. They loved Mark Jackson, and Mark Jackson's good abrupt departure, if you will. I wasn't convinced that a first year coach could come in and capture his team, capture the locker room the way that he has.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sorry, you go 67-15 in your first year in a way tougher Western Conference. To me, that's Coach of the Year. And no disrespect to Budenholzer, I think he's a fucking fantastic coach.
Either
and
there's one's no, worthy, and no there's question.
There's no doubt about it that he transformed a team that probably shouldn't be as good as they are. The Warriors should be as good as they are. The Hawks probably, maybe arguably, shouldn't be quite as good as they are. But I just think, like, 67-15. One of the best records in history.
Oh, yeah.
39-2 at home.
That's
Coach of the Year.
What he's done is absolutely incredible. But here's the thing on Steve Kerr that I was thinking about. Look at who he's played with, and look at who he's played under. Look who's been his coaches.
Yeah.
He has learned and played with the best. Like, that man is his brain, I mean, I would love to just go inside that man's brain and just look at the way he, like, thinks about the game, the way he analyzes it, the way he approaches it. I mean, obviously, it's worked out pretty damn well.
Sure.
But fortunate enough for him, he's got the talent on his team to make whatever scenarios, make whatever plays in his mind a complete reality. Not only a reality, better than he could probably envision. That's not to take anything away from him, because, like, what he's done in the West, like you said, is absolutely incredible, man. It's really is something else. But with Budenholzer in Atlanta, they were the 8th seed last year, right? And the Pacers were 1.
That's right.
Tyler and I last year at this time, actually, we were talking about the Hawks and, you know, whatnot. And they were giving the Pacers
Indiana a pretty good fight.
Yeah, they were giving Indiana a really good fight.
Too good of a fight.
But at the time, Tyler, correct me, were me and you just the ones shit-talking, saying, like, oh, my God, you know, it's like it's only a matter of time before they move this team? Or was that, like, a legitimate, like, conversation that people were having? Like,
there was a time where they were talking that the Hawks would not stay in Atlanta because attendance hasn't been that great.
Yeah.
I think they've had a little bit of resurgence, due in part to, obviously, how good they've become, but also due in part to Two Chainz. he's become just like this, the, like, I don't know what you call it, like the ambassador,
spokesman.
Same thing.
Played Dominique in a game of horse before a game.
Exactly. Like, he's become like the ambassador to this Hawks team, and he's made that team like a part of like the Atlanta community, like obviously where he's from.
And to go from the 8th seed to the first, like, now we were talking, you know, it's obviously in the Eastern Conference. You still have to play the Cavs, still have to play the Bulls, still got to play the Wizards, you know, the Raptors, still got to play all these teams. And not only that, but you do have to play teams in the West, and you have to win those games in order to stay on top. They've had to play the Spurs, they've had to play Golden State, they've had to, you know, play OKC, all these guys, you know, they still had to play them, and they still had to win in order to keep that one spot. So it's not like it's been exclusively Eastern Conference teams.
No, but I mean,
good point.
On the opposite end of that, the Warriors had to play the Cavs, they had to play the Raptors, they had to play the Wizards, they had to play the Bulls.
I think it was more of a challenge for the Hawks to play anybody in the West than it was for Golden State to play anybody in the East.
Right, but Golden State had to play more games in the West than...
I thought you were going with something. No, you're right.
That's a good question. How many games will the Hawks have won? Were they a Western Conference team playing a Western schedule? I say 55. You know,
I don't go that high.
Maybe.
I'd say 49. 50 maybe.
Wow. Okay.
Sad thing is, we will never really know because we don't see them, you know, match up as often as, you know. Yeah. But I mean, you can still make educated guesses.
Absolutely.
So I mean, I think your guess of 55 wins.
I think that's
probably not far off. I'd go 50.
Yeah, I think I can't see them only losing five more games if they have to double down like the amount of games they play against Western Conference teams, basically.
That's true.
I'd give them 50. I think that's a respectable number.
I actually think there's only two teams in the West that actually could give them a run for their money, and that's the Warriors and the Spurs. Especially the Spurs, because the Spurs play the same type of basketball that they do. So it'd be really interesting to see the Hawks and the Spurs play against each other.
What a great series. Yeah, Master and the Apprentice,
that would be
right?
Cool. Oh, that would be amazing. Really cool.
That would be a great series.
Oh, if the fates have it, that would be the finals.
Yeah. It's possible. You never know.
Yeah, okay.
Especially how little drama this current playoffs.
Do you guys have any picks for who wins each series right now? I mean, I know it's kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was...
Little...
Want to roll down the list?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll go through mine really quick. You can check out more in-depth analysis of what I had to say. I put up a couple articles on 51yardline.com, our blog website that you can go check out. But I believe my predictions were as follows. Hawks, round one, in five. Cavs in five. Mm-hmm. Raptors in seven, although that's not looking very good right now.
Yeah, that's the big surprise. The Wizards.
Kyle Lowry is clearly more banged up than anyone was willing to admit. Raptors in seven and the fuck am I missing? Oh, Bulls in five.
You think Milwaukee pulls away with a win?
I think they get one at home in front of that home crowd.
The Greek freak
will go off and make some things happen in one game, but I'm not the Rose of old is clearly, knock on wood, back. Like he's looked really good in these first couple
that's
games.
So with Jimmy Butler too, that
Jimmy
is
Butler,
Jimmy Butler is a monster.
I really
talk about
a guy
who made steps this
a
year.
Guy, I really like talk him. About a guy who made steps over the past few years. He had no D1 offers coming out of high school.
Dude, you guys, speaking of. Great, amazing article out of Sports Illustrated on Jimmy Butler a couple issues back. If you can, I swear to God, you will not be disappointed. It was the NBA. It was the NBA midseason report.
Okay.
I'm telling you guys, you will not be disappointed if you read that article. Swear to God, Jimmy Butler. Like, again, don't do a lot of NBA watching. Very quickly became probably my favorite player in that article. Wow. I really, really like that kid.
Yeah.
And then on the Western Conference side, I had Warriors in five. I think Anthony Davis gets it done once at home for them.
Pelicans gave him a real good fight in game two.
They actually started to come back there in game one. It's just they dug themselves too big of
a
hole.
Too far down, yeah.
Rockets and Dallas. I gave Rockets in six.
Sounds right.
The Clip Show and San Antonio. I gave San Antonio in six. Portland and Memphis. I gave it to Memphis in seven. So.
Ooh, it's seven.
Seven.
Indeed.
I mean, that's not looking so good.
Yeah, I mean, Portland's got to show something special now because of all the series, I mean, the Grizzlies are just giving it to them.
Yeah.
I
didn't account enough for the fact that Wes Matthews is out. I know I mentioned in the article, but I just didn't. I didn't think it was. I didn't realize how much that really, really matters because it really, really matters that West
Portland
is out.
Starting lineup is their whole team. Their
bench
is
their
bench really
is
weak.
Really, really weak.
Their starting lineup plays really well together. I mean, you're looking at these games that they're losing so badly. I mean, all their starting five are not playing badly. I mean, Lillard, Aldridge, they're putting up their numbers.
They just don't have anyone for the beginning of the second quarter and beginning of the third, or the middle of the third, and the beginning of the fourth. Those are integral stretches to a game's momentum, and you've got to have someone who can, got to have at least a couple guys out there who can make some things that happen, knock some shots down, and play some defense.
Right. I mean, when the Spurs whipped them badly in the playoffs last year, it was just because the Spurs bench, their second unit, was so good.
Yeah.
And the Blazers were just, you know, their five weren't nearly good enough to make up that difference.
They did win that one game, though.
Yeah.
They hit the one game. That was
it was a complete blowout.
I believe they call it in San Antonio a gentleman's sweep, just because there was no doubt about that series.
All right. Why don't you guys each go through
Bulls and four.
Your picks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Bulls sweep them.
Bulls and four, Cavs and five.
Yep.
Hawks and four. And what else am I missing here?
Raptors and Wizards.
Hmm. Wizards in five.
I agree with you in that. I mean, obviously, we've got the
shit, man. I just realized how unfair this is. We're on two games in, and you guys didn't get to make your prediction.
I was gonna say, sorry, Tyler. This is totally bullshit.
Like, fuck.
But hey, we could go. It could be wrong, but
I listen.
So next time we make everybody make predictions before the playoffs.
No. We
got it.
We'll do round two as soon as possible.
Yeah, we fucking.
Because this is because right now me and Steve are playing with house money. But
you guys, okay. All right, I apparently I don't want to make myself sound dim, so
too late.
Have this season. I love you, dim. The C's haven't taken a game from the Cavs yet, have they?
No, they haven't.
So you guys actually think they're going to take a game from them?
I do. I mean,
really?
Just watching
them. In the Garden? Yeah.
I've just been watching
sports. They have not played bad in either game.
No, it's not that. It's just, it seems like to me from what, this is stupid. From what I've seen out of just SportsCenter highlights, it just seems like the Cavs hit another gear and...
In
the fourth quarter, that's just, it's unfair.
It's true. I mean, listen, they've got Kyrie and LeBron who just know how to close at the end. The problem with the Celtics is their offense is horrible. They actually play great defense. Here's the thing. The funny thing about the Celtics is they have the best second unit in the NBA. The problem is they're all starting.
Yeah.
they've got really good role players, guys who play good defense, guys who are pretty sure-handed. The problem is just they just don't have any real talent. Isaiah Thomas is their best player, and he's very inconsistent. The thing with the Celtics, though, is they've really fought the Cavs well. Like, both one and two. Yeah, games one and two. They kept it close until midway through the fourth. And then you're right, the Cavs closed. That's largely because of, you know, the crowd pushing them. I think you go to Boston, that crowd is going to be really excited to have,
that
like...
That crowd is going to be bananas,
I mean,
dude.
They hate LeBron.
They really... And listen, the Cavs, this is history. It has nothing to do with who's on these teams now. But the Celtics owned the Cavs back in the day. LeBron went to Miami largely because of what the Celtics did to him. He saw the Celtics stack their team with Allen, Garnett, and Pierce. He went and did the same thing with Bosh and Wade, and he got his rings. And he said that after he knocked the Celtics out. He's like, we patterned our thing on what they did. So I think the Celtics are kind of like, it's one of those who's your daddy type things.
No, all right.
They are not better than the Cavs. The Cavs are going to win this series, but I'll bet they get one game.
You think so?
I think they get one in the Garden.
I think they're good enough to do it.
Just off raw emotion and effort.
Agreed. And crowd. And they don't win in Cleveland. They have to win in one.
Crowd is so big. Like, crowd in the NBA.
Well, yeah, they have to win one in Boston or else they're going to get swept.
In the NBA, I mean, like... I think it's just as important as crowd in the NFL. Maybe even more so just because of like how much smaller the arena is compared to the football and you're inside.
I think
that noise, if you get a raucous crowd going, it's deafening in there.
Crowd
man.
Is closer. Crowd affects you on free throws.
Best case of that is Oracle Arena.
Yeah.
The Warriors.
Toughest place to play in the 39
NBA. 39-2?
Come on.
That's not an accident.
And look at the teams that have gone in there and played. Remember when the Spurs went in there and the Warriors just fucking embarrassed them? Embarrassed the champs. That's not easy to do.
They've embarrassed a lot of teams in that arena.
Oh, yeah. Shelled people.
So loud in there. Yeah. And it's an old arena, too. Won't be there in a couple years.
It's an old wooden ship.
It's an old wooden arena that was used during the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Steve, I
need a renovation.
We didn't do our West picks, did we? Or our...
You didn't. Yeah. I did.
Well, no.
Let's jump on it. Okay, so I mean, I actually say Warriors sweep. I think they're going to sweep the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans played their best game in game two. I think that the Warriors are going to really snap it out on them. But the more interesting series going forward are Grizzlies, Trailblazers. That's the 2-7. I think that's a 5-gamer.
I think that's a sweeper.
Yeah, I think the
Grizzlies are playing out of their minds.
They're playing great. I think the Trailblazers. You got to talk about fans though. Portland's got a good crowd too.
They do.
Portland fans are great.
They do.
You meant the 4-5 game?
Did I say 2-7? I meant 4-5.
It's all right.
Numbers that aren't
Rockets,
the same.
Rockets, Mavs, 2-7.
We'll get there in a second. We'll get there in just a moment.
Don't correct me when I'm wrong.
That's my job.
It's embarrassing.
Easy, Rook. Easy. No.
The Grizzlies are playing like Grizzlies. Fierce, obnoxious, and terrifying. I mean, like, the Trailblazers look skittish.
See, shell shock. See, I said that because the Grizzlies Blazers feels like a 2-7.
Steve, you get like done, monologue mode.
But Grizzlies are going through, no question.
Oh yeah,
they did. Yeah.
So I mean, that's interesting. That sets up a good interesting matchup. Grizzlies. Ooh, and
quick
Warriors.
Question: Better Gasol brother in his prime, Mark or Powell?
Ooh,
Powell. I'm going Mark.
Oh, I go Powell.
Mark's a better defender, though.
Let's see how he plays next year.
Powell's offense is way better.
Is it really that much better?
I think
though?
It's better.
Really,
dude. I mean,
Mark is so good on defense. You guys are much bigger NBA watchers than me, but Mark to me he's a defensive force.
It's a hard question, actually, because I mean, to be fair, I mean, like, you know, Powell Gasol. I mean, he was functioning at his best when he was in the triangle, and that's just hard to tell how good you really are.
Fair enough.
Because that system does its work for itself.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but he's been crazy good this year on the Bulls.
Yeah, I that's my thing.
But he's
like,
so bad.
That's not
defense.
An offensive team.
No,
so, he's not good on defense though. From what I watched,
he's not bad.
He's lost a
step or two, but he's old. In his prime, he was a great defender.
He was good. I mean, he was savvy. He wasn't like a big shot blocker type. He was clever. He was able to position on defenders.
I just think he's slow-footed and he doesn't block many shots. It's not real great for a guy his size.
I mean, listen, Mark Gasol on like the Kobe
Lakers,
that
could
have been
crazy. He's almost just as good.
But
fair.
Altering shots is... It's just a different way of getting a block in a lot of ways. Unless you're some insane person like LeBron who can make every altered shot that he takes.
I will say he... I don't know if I'm going to meet you there as far as him being a defender at all in any point in his career. Good rebounder. Good rebounder.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I mean, he was a defender, though. In his prime, he was definitely a good defender. Not as good as Mark, but
Did
I would say...
Did he make any all-defensive teams? I mean, that's
I don't think that's
valid enough.
That's
super valid for me if I'm looking at comparing him to Mark in his prime. Because Mark's in his prime right now, and he's a darn good offensive player.
Yeah,
sure. And a defensive.
Powell's
force.
A better offensive player than Mark is, though. So it's like it's almost a toss up, really.
Mark. I think it's really close. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's close, but I'd go Mark.
Yeah. I'd go Powell. I'd go Powell just because he's won.
Yeah, I mean,
with Kobe, the top five player of all time.
Yeah,
Mark doesn't have that yet.
Yeah, but Powell, I mean, Powell carried the Lakers to a lot of games in the playoffs.
Good point.
I mean, game 7 of the finals against the Celtics.
That's true.
Powell
that's
won
true.
That game
good call.
By Kobe.
2010?
Yeah.
That's a good point. I still take Mark.
Makes
that's
me
good point.
Ache to say it, but it was it was that
funny.
Was Powell,
funny,
man.
The 2000 loss makes Kobe ache, too.
All right.
Mark.
West picks.
Mark.
Yeah. Oh, what?
But yeah, West picks.
Right. Okay. Clippers, Spurs. I still go with Spurs. I think Spurs and six. I think Spurs and six.
I
think they still won in L.A.
I hear you two got a little bet going.
I won it.
I lost
oh,
that bet.
You, it, oh, it wasn't on a series.
I bet
it was only on game one.
I won game one. He spotted me
scary
off.
Accurate.
He hit me with a 5-point over. He said Clippers were going to win by more than five. I took that bet, and I owe him a Shirley Temple now.
Oh. Well, yeah.
That was a pretty wild bet I put down.
A drink will put hair
can
in
we,
chest.
Next time, can you just make something up like you owe him like something that's not horribly not manly?
But you
horribly
know,
not
but
manly.
You know something? You two guys,
that's what he's going to get, and he's going to like it.
You two guys were there when I placed this bet. I was drinking plenty of manly shit.
No.
Yeah, that lemon drop was going
that
down.
That was the cherry deep. On the steak.
But Papa Bear did say
that. Everything else was a steak.
Papa Bear did say there was quite a bit of whiskey involved.
There
he
was.
Did, he did
for
say
all
that.
Of us.
Yeah, there was. I enjoyed every drop.
I'm sad I missed it.
All right, fine. Warriors. Warriors, oh my God, the Pelicans! Oh boy, no, I feel bad because
the Pelicans.
It just sucks. I mean, why? I texted Tyler during the Pelicans Warriors game. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, look at this game go. This is incredible. And Tyler's like, yeah, this is great. Didn't happen.
It didn't last.
So
Klay
you know,
Thompson
I don't
having none of it.
I don't give a shit where they're playing. They're not beating the Warriors. They ain't happening. So you know what? Warriors in four.
Yeah.
Who else we got? We got. Oh,
Rockets.
The Mavs. Oh, get out of here. You guys are tired. I'm going with the Rockets. I'll give a pity win. I'll go with the Rockets in five.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I go six. I go Rockets in six.
All right.
I think the Mavericks do grab two games in there because just I really think they're good. I think Dirk hasn't really flexed it yet. But I mean, the Rockets are going to win that series.
Because if he flexes it, he's going to break something. The dude can barely move.
Yeah, he's older than dirt.
True, but, you know, I mean, I think he steps out. I think he takes advantage of their fours. Because if the Rockets have a weakness,
he can still shoot with the best of them. Don't get me wrong. It's just like the dude. You watch the dude pump fake a guy out of his shorts, and normally he'd dribble drive to the hole. He can't. He literally can't.
That's what Barkley always said, man. The minute you start pump faking too much, you know it's over.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
Oh, damn it. No, sorry.
We're watching the Clippers.
We're watching the Clippers, the Spurs game. Damn.
Did J.J. Redick miss a free throw because he's a Dookie skank?
That might cost that might cost him the game. We got the Grizzlies. Oh, the Grizzlies.
Mark!
No.
The Bears.
The Grizzlies in four.
Four, wow.
Quattro.
I give it five. I think the Blazers get one.
I give it quattro.
Whew.
And then
decisive.
And then Clips Spurs. I'm going with the Clips in six. Because these dogs are tired.
Oh, you think they close them out in San Antonio?
Yeah, see, look at that. If we keep getting more of that. Look at this nonsense. Look at Tim Duncan being a fool.
I know people can't see it at home, but Steve, really, really quick for me, do your Tim Duncan face.
For those of you not watching, because none of you are, it does look like Tim Duncan. Anyway, a long-haired white person can look like Tim Duncan.
Anyway, I think that was all the rankings.
This is great radio, guys. Narrating an NBA game right now and watching Steve do non-audible faces.
Look at Tim Duncan's face as he goes down. I'm not surprised by this. Nothing surprises me these days.
My elbow hurts so much now.
All right. What's next?
Your picks.
Oh, I guess my picks. Oh, jeez. Thanks, man. All right. I would say Cavs sweep, Bulls sweep. What else am I missing?
Raptors,
like
Wiz.
Six other series.
Raptors, Wiz. It sounds good. I know, right? I think Wiz are definitely, from what I've seen, I mean, the Wiz.
Paul Pierce is putting on a show.
Well, it's not just that. John Wall. And in what Beale said at halftime, I just think about how the Raptors think that the Wiz are a bunch of punks. Like, I the Wizards seem to be taking it awfully personally. So I don't really know if I see the Raptors winning.
Can we just tell Masai Ujiri to stop cursing at freaking Raptors rallies? It's not helping.
They
lose every series when he does that.
Yeah.
Just shut up, dude.
He's obnoxious.
He's trying to rally the troops, and it didn't work.
Good luck rallying Canadians. It doesn't work that way.
Good luck rallying Canadians. We've alienated an entire country in this statement. The rookie's going big on his first show.
Oh, that was great. It. Thank you so much for that, man.
What else am I missing?
The entire Western Conference.
Man. I know. You got to walk me through it, man. This is what you're here for. You're the
Warriors,
host.
All right, Warriors, Pelicans.
Warriors, Pelicans. Warriors sweep them.
All right.
Rockets, Mavs.
The Canadians.
This
is 18-12.
Until Rondo, I do...
Keep in mind, Parsons is now out for the whole series, for the whole playoffs.
Which is brutal considering the plot line.
I
like the drama, and Parsons is
I still think Rockets are up 2-0, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, no?
Yes.
Yeah,
wait, yeah.
I was going to say, Rockets are up 2-0.
Yep, they held serve on
I think Dirk will get him a game, so I'm going to take Rockets in five. I think Dirk will be able to squeeze out one game. I feel like, you
I think
know,
Tyson Chandler would do it too. I think so.
And then
we got the Grizzles and...
there's no faith.
The Blazers.
I would say the Grizz. I don't like Rip City's anti-Spanish attitude. I'm not a big fan.
What's up with that?
By the way, really questionable thing to have on your locker room
wall. It was questionable, but I think it was... Maybe you guys disagree. I thought it was out of respect. I really thought, like, as silly as that sounds, I thought it was like, God damn, that Marc Gasol is so freaking good. But we don't lose to him ever. I felt like... I don't think they were like... God damn Spanish players, get out of here.
I mean,
like,
because the Blazers have had a lot of Spanish players.
Exactly. Brandon's, I think it was more out of respect. Yeah. Is that something
you want
on your locker room wall that the media has access to?
No,
definitely not. Dumb. Not definitely not in 2015. But I took it more as like trying to get the guys to not be afraid of like you know, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
So. What a random thing to have, Skrull. These damn Spanish players.
And then this series, Clips, Spurs.
This?
The best out of the bunch.
I would say this is definitely got to be probably the most entertaining of the third of the any of the series.
God, every time I see these fuckers, I get so pissed.
In the first round. I would, I guess, it's hard to go against Pop. It really is.
You're done right.
It really, really is. And I really, and the thing is, I really want, because I like Chris Paul, and I like Blake Griffin, and I know Paul sees the window closing, and I'd love the clips. I'd love the clips. I'd love to see the clips take it. I just don't see it happening. I would take the. I'm gonna take the. Actually, I'm gonna say they go the distance. I'm gonna take Spurs in seven.
Ooh,
you gotta believe, son.
Great series. Close him out in L.A.
You gotta believe.
Jesus, Steve.
I believe.
You gotta believe.
In the red and blue, they will get it done.
All right. Is that everybody's picks?
I would say those are everybody's picks. Up until the second round, which we will do before the start.
Yeah, we'll
round.
Do a better job.
And when
on
the
that.
Second round happens, we'll be excited because we're going to have some good matchups, Paul.
Steve is watching DeAndre Jordan being hack-a-shacked right now. It's very stressful for him.
And it's
all right. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't even understand what's happening right now. All right. Well, let's finish off with some trivia.
Oh,
no! Stole it, Paul!
Now, where do we stand right now?
No. We stand currently. You are not in the lead because missed like 12 and a half episodes.
Oh, no. I'm definitely bottom feeding right now.
Steve and Drew are currently tied with 5 points. Oh, and Christian is...
Spoiler alert. I ruined all the hockey questions last week.
Yeah, you can have them.
I screwed
you guys. Are in the lead. You guys are in the lead with 5. Christian, you're trailing right behind him with 4. Okay. So, today's question, in honor of the NBA playoffs, here's a question related to women's soccer.
Oh, I might have this one.
Holy mother.
I actually love women's soccer, mainly because of Alex Morgan.
Who holds... Stevie, listen, buddy?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right.
Go ahead.
Who holds the all-time record for most goals scored in international women's soccer
United States or anybody?
For anybody.
Ooh.
But actually, really, United States.
Okay, thank God.
I think I got this.
Because the answer is the same. Your choices are Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy, Abby Wambach, Hope Solo.
Oh, I'm screwed. I guess I got. I have only. One guess. I actually thought it was something completely different, and that her name never came up. So I guess I got to go with I don't know.
Mia Hamm.
I have to go with Mia Hamm. I don't know any of the other ones. So,
but you know what? No, Tyler, that's just too obvious. You guys so going I think
Mia,
I fucked this
you guys
one
going
up.
Mia Hamm?
I'll be honest with you. I wanted to say what the hell's her name? Is it Brandi Chastain that took her shirt off?
Brandi Chastain.
That was going
to
be
she
mine.
She had one of the most iconic goals in history, but she's not even close to the most goals.
That was going to be my guess.
She wasn't an offensive player.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Nice! Would have nailed it.
See, Drew remembers the one with the sports bra.
I do. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out to our female listeners, man.
Hey, they know who Brandi Chastain is.
There aren't any of them.
There aren't. We're working on that.
Hey, my mom listens.
Oh, there we go. Hi, Mrs. Willers.
So there you go, man.
Okay, so
Mia Hamm.
Mia Hamm. I'm going with Abby Wambach.
Okay. It's probably you guys are both going Mia Hamm.
Now I want to change my answer.
Too late.
So I guess I have to.
Guys. The answer is Hope Solo. No, I'm kidding. It's Abby Wambach. Good job.
Awesome, Christian.
He makes the comeback. We're all tied at 5. By the way, thank God nobody said Hope Solo. If you picked a goalie for most goal scorers,
I had to give you
one
easy answer. That's how multiple choice works.
I got you. I got you. No, I feel that. Yeah,
there we go. But yeah, Abby Wambach.
If you'd have thrown Brandi Chastain in there, first guess. No question. I wouldn't have even hesitated.
Abby Wambach of the greatest goal I've ever seen in a women's soccer game. That header against Brazil.
You guys
in
your soccer.
Hey, man. You got to respect that.
Hey, man. I had to give you something different. I had to give you guys
That was a good question.
No, I like it. Women's World Cup coming up this summer.
And we're learning.
That's what I love about this podcast. We're learning.
Yeah. What else do we want to talk about? Do we have time for NHL hockey?
No.
We do not have time for NHL hockey.
We're almost at an hour.
Never.
Balls.
Next time.
You can each say one thing about NHL hockey playoffs right now. Go.
Well, the Wild got their asses whooped.
Yeah, they did.
I saw a little bit of that game.
That sucks.
They got pumped.
Anyway, but it sounds like they play better on the road anyhow, so this sounds like a good thing.
2-2, right?
It is now knotted up at 2 games apart.
It's knotted up, that means potentially the guys win the next 2, they go on to the next round.
I know.
My Blackhawks continue to be the only ones to win triple overtime playoff games. We are 3-0 in our three triple overtime playoff games since 2010.
What else is new? The Blackhawks winning close games.
Damn, dude.
They just have to they just have to ruin my blood pressure. Like it's they have to do it. They always there. Do it.
I am there for most of the year.
There you go.
We're all there.
Anybody else want to say anything about it?
I'm still in mourning for my Bruins.
Okay.
It's weird that the Celtics are in the playoffs and the Bruins aren't. That was not a thing a month ago. It really was not. If you told me a month ago that was going to happen, I would have been like, no.
Steve, anything?
Shut up, Steve.
You knock us out, we knock you out right back.
Matt Barnes is disrespected.
Classic.
So no, Steve, nothing?
No, the Blackhawks are playing. That's actually probably out of all of them that are going on. Well, no, the Ottawa and the Canadiens, the Senators and the Canadiens are really fun to watch. But no, actually, the Predators and the Blackhawks is the most intense to watch, I think. Just because watching the Predators play in the regular season and the Blackhawks play, I mean, that matchup is like every first round series has the best matchup, in my opinion. The Blackhawks and the Predators is the best matchup. And we've seen it transpire in the games that have been played.
I'm biased, but I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, biased or not, I mean, look at the games they play in the regular season. Look how they're playing now. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So like I'd say, Senators and Canadians, that's another fun thing. I think the Senators are going to pull away. Fuck the Canadians. They're fucking assholes. They help knock us out, too.
Seriously? The second time? Okay.
We are
the Montreal Canadiens!
Canada
the Montreal Canadiens! I have not said shit about the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, you should. That's the team you should be talking shit about.
It's okay, man. I'm wearing a Drake shirt. We're showing some Toronto love. It's all good.
I'm sorry.
We're showing nothing because we're not on video.
God darn it! Then why did you ask the actor to do this? The actors to do this.
Fucking actors.
All right, I'm going home. I'm going to sleep. With that, that's going to wrap it up for, I don't know, something like episode 17, I think I said at the beginning of the show. Yeah, go Blackhawks. Go White Sox. Go Twins, sort of.
No, don't go that. Don't go them.
Okay, we'll talk about that next week. So for Steve Cravens.
Thank you for listening.
For Christian Schneider.
Boston Celtics, get me one.
Get you, oh, a win.
One game, one win.
A win.
Just one. I just want to see LeBron lose one game against us. You know.
Don't worry, he'll lose in the final.
for Drew Willers. So
if there's any general managers listening to this podcast, the Minnesota Vikings would like a first-round pick and a starting cornerback for Adrian Peterson. I spoke personally to Rick Spielman, so just, you know, take that with, you know, what.
Rick will actually be on the show on Sunday.
Rick
to discuss
will
that
be
us.
On the show on Sunday, barring that I can't get a hold of him because I don't have his number or his email or know where he lives.
We'll find a Rick Spielman.
We will find Rick Spielman of some sorts.
Rick Spielberg.
That, oh, that. Spielberg.
I'm tired. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Yeah, so for those guys and everything and the 51-yard line and all the other stuff that we do and our website and, you know, things
Twitter.
Like that. And Twitter, and our Twitter. You can tweet us, you can twat us, you can...
twat!
Definitely.
It's funny because he said twat.
Please. We definitely have to do twat.
I guess I'm Tyler Berry, and I'm... bye.
The man's confused.